Ruth chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 4 through 7. Ruth chapter 2, begin reading verse number 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried in a little in the house. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing upon this. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for a beautiful day you've given us, beautiful spring day. We're so thankful for it. We ask you to be with our folks that aren't here. God, help each of them. We thank you for the ones that have come out tonight to be with us. I thank you, Lord, for seeing old Benny here tonight, and I pray that you'll bless him and help him in his journey that he's trying to go through right now. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Now, if you're just jumping in here on Ruth, I don't have enough time really to share with you everything. It's a great book. It's a small book. It's only 100 verses. In our last study, we looked at Boaz, and he is a type of the Lord Jesus. We also saw that Ruth was a type of the new Christian. And the field is very important. The field is very important. The field often symbolizes the lost people. Jesus said in John 4:35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." The field the Lord is referring to is the multitudes around us that are lost, the ones we're trying to reach. Now, the field here before us, I believe, is a wonderful picture of the church. The field of the earthly Boaz is symbolic of the church of our heavenly Boaz, which is Jesus Christ. A field's very important factor in the development of this relationship. Now, I'm going to go back and say that the last time we met, the field, Ruth went into this field and she's gleaning. When you hear that word, what does that mean? That was their welfare system. When they would pick the corn or whatever it was, if it fell, they let it fall. And they left the corners out. And those that were poor would go and do that. But Boaz told the reapers, and you'll see it as we go along, and if you want to keep up with this, just watch us on Wednesday nights when you get started back. He's going to tell the reapers to leave a little extra out. We have a relationship here building between Boaz and Ruth, and it's symbolic of the relationship between us and Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to look at is the Lord's presence in his church. In verse number 4, it says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem." Now, he's visiting his field. So what? Why is that a big deal? Well, it is a big deal because he had many fields. He had many fields, and he would come and visit this field. And when you think about that, I think of the way the Lord visits his church. Are y'all with me tonight? In Revelation 2, when you read those verses in Revelation 2 and about the churches, the one in particular in verse chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these saith, he has holden the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. The stars are representing the pastures, and the candlesticks are the churches. Matthew 18:20 says, "Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst." We can't have church without the Lord. Oh, we can. We can have church without the Lord, but it won't be any good. I can't stand up here and preach without the Lord. So we see his presence. Now we see the Lord's personal presence. Now, Boaz coming to the field. He's paying a personal visit to the field, much to the delight of those that he met, because in verse number 4 it says, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." This was an exciting thing for them to see Boaz in the field. You ever heard somebody walk out of church and say, "The Lord was with us today"? Huh? The Lord showed up today, church, field, very similar. I read about an astronaut. He said this about his trip to the moon. He said, "My trip to the moon was a spiritual awakening in which I was brought to a realization of my dependence on God and my relationship to Jesus Christ. The only thing I was not prepared for on the moon was that I could feel God's presence closer than I'd ever felt before." You ever had those times in your life where it's just you and God? Just you and God. There's no preacher, there's no teacher, there's no singing. It's just you and God. And you feel the presence of the Lord. You see, the presence of the Lord is not just here. It's not just here. Most of you don't know this about me, but when I was working and I would leave early hours of the morning and usually hour to hour and a half drive, I would stop and get a sausage biscuit and a Coke, ride up the highway, me and the Lord, and I prayed the whole time. Connie, there's many times going up that road where 4:30 in the morning, Doyle, I just got happy. Something just hit me. Something just hit me. The presence of the Lord, and I'd get to work because I knew what I was facing going into a nuclear plant. I knew all the things that we'd have to do and all the junk you'd have to put up with. I had to prepare myself. I encourage you. Kind of get off task here a minute, but that's okay. I encourage you, every single day you get up, talk to the Lord. Amen. Talk to the Lord. And ask him, say, "Lord, what do you want me to do today?" I love it. And I had forgot Billy did this when he prays. He'd say, "That's all for now, Lord. We'll talk to you in a little while." I forgot he did that. What a blessing that is. Because when you say amen, I might pray at home, getting ready for the day, and say amen, but then come over here and start praying again. Praying is a continual thing that you and I need to do. Relationship. Relationship. We're talking about a relationship. One of the most important things you and I should have is a relationship. So we see the Lord's personal presence in the church, and we see the Lord's perpetual presence over the church. In this case, Boaz, it's doubtful he spent every day in the field. There's no doubt he didn't do that, but he visited occasionally. He was there for them. Boaz set people over the field. He set his reapers over the field that acted on his behalf. I got to thinking about this. The reapers are unnamed servants. Unnamed servants. Several places in the Bible we see where the Lord spoke of unnamed servants. You can look in the book of Genesis. Abraham went in search of, or a servant of Abraham went in search for the bride for Isaac. When you look at the book of 2 Kings with Elijah, after the fire and all that, there was a period where it was just nothing. There's a few verses that we often skip, and Elijah sent his servant to walk and see if a cloud was coming. You can read that. And he went back seven times. And it says on the seventh time, he came back and he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. We don't know who that guy was. There are several places through the Word of God that might be a unique study we do sometime. The unnamed servants in the Bible. There's a lot of unnamed servants that are at this church. This church is not about me. If it is, we're in trouble. No amens, please. Thank you. My wife can't speak still, or she would amen that right there. But unnamed servants, people that teach our children in the back, people that stay in the nursery, people that clean the bathrooms, people that take the garbage out, unnamed servants, we got to have them, amen? We got to have them. Reapers were set in the field. Boaz had somebody set in the field. Now, when I think of an unseen guest, I think of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, every single service must be here. If we don't pray for the Holy Spirit to visit us, we're just going to come in here and go through the motions. I hope and pray every time you enter this church, you're praying, "Lord, let your Spirit rule and reign in this service." I like it when he just takes over. When he just removes me out of the way. The unseen guest of the service is the Holy Spirit. The unseen guide of the service is the Holy Spirit. The unseen guard is the Holy Spirit. The unseen gift of every service is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is always present. You see, the Holy Spirit is the life of the church, the leader of the church, the liberty of the church, the lover of the church, the light of the church. The Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus has set over this church. Are y'all with me tonight? The Holy Spirit is here, and we must pray. Every single time I walk in the door, even a Wednesday night, you think, oh, it's just an old Wednesday night. I've seen people get saved on Wednesday nights. I mean, y'all rushed out of here Sunday morning, and y'all didn't even see old Michael get saved. Holy Spirit was working after the service was over. There wasn't anybody here but me and my family, and I think Beverly and Rick were still here because Rick was trying to lock up. I said, Rick, you want to hang on a minute? He said, I'll just sit down. But you know what? The Holy Spirit worked, and y'all were gone. Y'all with me? Holy Spirit can work at your house. Holy Spirit can work in your car. Holy Spirit can work anywhere and always. The Lord is present in his church. He is to be sensed. He is to be visible and vocal in every service. Number two, the Lord's people at his church. In verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, the word reaper is used. That's a type of the Lord's people. That's you and that's me. And in this, I see an assembled people. These reapers are gathered in Boaz's field. A person, a place, a purpose had brought them together. When we come here on Wednesdays, when we come here on Sundays, we're gathering for a purpose. Yes. COVID has done some things that have streamlined some things and made some things a little better. But COVID has almost destroyed the churches. There are people that just won't come to church anymore. It breaks my heart. People that I know that love the Lord. People I know that are saved. But we have to get past that. We go to eat. We go to Home Depot. We go to Lowe's. I ought to be able to come to church. Amen? And I know we're streaming. People's watching us. But streaming has hurt our churches too. It's easy just to pick up the stream instead of coming to church. And I'm not picking on you if you're watching. I read this one time. It's called, and I think we ought to do this. It's called No Excuse Sunday. The advertisement in the paper said this: please join us next Sunday for church. We're going to make it possible for everybody to attend church next Sunday by having No Excuse Sunday. Cots will be placed in the vestibule for those who say Sunday is my only day of rest. Steel helmets will be there for those who say the church will cave in if I ever come. Blankets will be furnished for those who say the church is cold, and fans for those who think it's hot. We'll have hearing aids for those who think the pastor preaches too softly, and cotton for those who think he preaches too loud. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to list the hypocrites who are present. Some relatives will be there for those who like going to visiting on Sunday. There'll be TV dinners for those who cannot go to church and cook Sunday dinner too. One section will be devoted to trees and grass for those who like to worship God outdoors. And finally, the sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who have never seen church without them. Sad but true. Now, on Easter Sunday morning, I was here last Easter, and this year as your pastor, I will not make comments about people only coming once a year. I'm going to welcome them. I'm going to thank them for coming. I'm going to preach the word of God to them. But we make excuses after excuses after excuse. And no Easter lilies either. If Easter lilies are here, the preacher will not be here. So if you want the preacher here, don't bring the Easter lilies in, because they make me absolutely. So I was carrying one the other day, and I started sneezing. I made a comment: this stupid Easter lily. There's people there mourning and grieving. Here I am fussing about the flowers. Anyway, don't bring the Easter lilies, please. But church attendance is important. Church attendance is important. We see the assembled people. Then we see the appreciative people. In verse number 7, I believe it was. Let me find my place. In verse number 4, They were appreciative. It says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. It's very obvious that Boaz and his reapers had a good relationship. His greeting was, the Lord be with you, which was both a salutation and a prayer. It's a Jewish expression that speaks all the time. They responded, the Lord bless thee. It's an expression of their appreciation for the kindness to them. Church is a place where God's people are gathered to praise his name. The Lord has been good to everybody in this church. When we come on Sundays, we come to not see who's got what on, not see who's sitting by who, or who's doing this, or who's doing that. We've come to worship the Lord. At my home church, I'm assuming it's still up there, there was a sign when you walk out. When you walk in, it says, enter to worship. And then it says, leave to serve. When we come into this place, put your problems aside, because we've all got them. Put your thoughts aside, because we all have them. Let's just worship. Come in here Sunday morning, and between now and Sunday, you pray for God to speak to your heart. You pray on how you could speak to somebody and be a blessing to somebody. There may be somebody in here Sunday morning that's at the end. Talked to a young man that was here Sunday morning, struggling. Lord's dealing with his heart. He's going into depression. I talked with him. There's a young lady sitting right over here to my right. Lord, dealing with her heart. She needs to be saved. You don't know what kind of impact you can have on somebody by just saying, good morning, it's good to have you. I've heard a lot of things since I've been here from people that visit, and they say, that's the most friendliest church I've ever been a part of. And I appreciate that. Make people feel welcome. Make people feel welcome, because that's what we need to do. Amen? Are y'all with me? Amen. The church is a place where we're together to worship him. The psalmist said in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is God. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. When we assemble here, we ought to come with a gratitude for the Lord. We ought to come with glory on our lips. He's blessed us. He's helped us get through another week, another day. So we see also active people. In verses 4 through 7, again, the servants of Boaz were called reapers. They were workers in the field. They were not idle. They were involved. They were active. They were busy. The old song, I shall not be moved. We need to be moved. We need to be moved. We need to be active. And it doesn't matter your age. You can be active sitting at home on the telephone checking on people. You can be active sitting at home praying. You can be active sitting at home sending positive emails or positive messages or positive texts. You can do a lot sitting at home. I've told you this before. My mother, her health was up and down. She got to where she couldn't go. But you know what she continued to do? Send out cards to people. People would come up to me and say, I got a card from your mother. I said, really? Okay. She did that till just the very end. And when we cleaned out, or when my dad was cleaning out her house, he cleaned out a whole drawer full of cards that she had bought to send out. You can do a lot. You say, preacher, I'm hurting today. I understand that. Get on that phone and just tell somebody about Jesus. Y'all with me tonight? There's a lot you can do. Those of us that can move and get about, we need to be busy. We need to be busy about those things. We need to be active. We need to be active about what the Lord wants us to do. Y'all still with me? Y'all hadn't fell asleep yet? Benny, you with me, ain't you? The Lord's perception of his church. In verse number 5, it says, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? No sooner did Boaz get into the field that he saw Ruth. And it's obvious that he knew everyone in the field, but he saw this damsel, this lady. The Lord, first thing I see is the Lord is discerning of us. He saw her. She wasn't lost in the crowd. There was more than just a group of people in the field. There were individuals. When people come in the doors of this church, the Lord sees them. There's a song, I can't remember the name of it. It's by a group, a good group called the Casting Crowns, and it talks about this lady walking in the doors of a church, wounded, beat up by life. Nobody even knew she was there. Nobody even said anything to her. Nobody even said anything to her. Listen to me. Somebody comes in the doors of this church, we have no idea what they've been through. Right. And as the church, we're to let them know they're welcome. Amen. Let them know that we appreciate them being here. And it doesn't matter what they got on, just as long as they got something on. Y'all with me? I'm over that. I just want to see people in the pews hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Had a guy, I think I shared with this Sunday, had a guy at a graveside service Friday. He tattooed from head to toe. I invited him to church. He said, "Oh, preacher." I said, "Stop right there. Tattoos and all, come on. I'll sit you right next to Paul and she'll just love on you and welcome you and be appreciative. She might have a tattoo on her shoulder too. I don't know." I didn't say that, Paul. I'm kidding. But you know, I've led people to the Lord. Old Jack, apostle, he's got tattoos everywhere. Bother me. Led him to the Lord several years ago. He just recently got out of prison. He's back in church down there in Rossville where we used to pastor, doing good. You know what? The Lord loves you regardless. We might not have a tattoo, but we have plenty of scars. I've got a lot of scars. I've got a lot of bones in my closet. Huh? We all do, amen? The Lord's discerning of us, but the Lord is drawn to us. Notice Boaz said, "Whose damsel is this? Whose damsel is this?" J. Vernon McGee said this. Well, he said, "Where in the world has she been? Why haven't I met her before?" He saw this lovely young lady and he had no idea what was about to take place. I hope Tammy's watching, but Sunday morning when Tammy walked in the doors of this church with her brother, I was blessed to see her because she'd been praying for a car. She told me after church, they bought a truck and able to put some money down. Somebody let them pay it off. And I said, "You know, we've been praying for God to allow you to get a vehicle. You got a vehicle. You came to church and your brother got saved." Nobody looked down on him. Nobody, no. He got saved. 45-year-old man said, "Preacher, can I talk to you? I need Jesus." It all goes back to the fact they had a vehicle. Y'all with me? God knew what he was doing. God was preparing the way. The Lord is drawn to us. The Lord loves us. The Lord wants us to be with him. We are never, ever have to wonder if God loves us. We never have to wonder. You don't have to wake up in the morning and say, "Well, I wonder if I've done enough." Honey, you can't do enough. He's already done it. "Well, I wonder if I can keep all of the commandments today." Forget it. You're not going to. It's not going to happen. But you know what? The Lord Jesus, we'll look at it as we go over the next 3 weeks. He died on a rugged cross for me and for you because he loves us. He loves those people up and down the road. He loves everybody. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants you to be a part of his and he wants to be a part of yours. Now I encourage you to read on down through 8 through 13 as we begin to look at Boaz and Ruth and their relationship and Oh to Grace, How Great a Debt will be next Wednesday night. You read on and just keep reading. And we'll continue in this in this book. Little by little, we're going to get through it. But let's go to the Lord in prayer right there where you're sitting. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I do. I said a moment ago about our kids, and I do appreciate our kids and how well they behave. I've been in churches where that wasn't the case. Parents didn't do the right thing, but these parents are taking care of these kids, and they're acting right, and I appreciate it, and I want all of our kids to know that I appreciate that, and I appreciate our parents, and I know it's a tough job raising kids these days, and I appreciate them for coming out on a Wednesday night. Hands have been up, Lord, needing prayer, and I pray that you'll help them, Lord. You know each need. You know each heart. Lord, you know what some of these folks in here are facing. We've looked at Boaz and Ruth, and that word relationship is going to come up and keep coming up as we go from Wednesday to Wednesday. As we look at Boaz and Ruth, and just a type of, Boaz is a type of Christ, and Ruth is a type of the Christian, and how they have that relationship, how it's important for us to have that relationship each and every day. I bless as we go into this time of prayer, and as we take requests, and as we mention needs. Lord, we just ask you to have your way. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.